Thank you, men, and gave us all a chance to kind of beef up on our Spanish a little bit. At least some of you that know Spanish, huh? Portuguese. See, I told you some of you that know Spanish. Sorry, Mike. Tells you how much I know about foreign languages, but I appreciate the fact that the Word of God goes everywhere, and through many who are faithfully serving the Lord around the world, and grateful for the opportunity that the truth is the truth everywhere, and grateful for these men and their involvement in getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Because as you're turning to Romans chapter 1, you're going to see it's very appropriate for the beginning of our reading this morning in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. But before I get to that, could I say how thankful I am for the opportunity to be here for my very first time. Some of you have probably heard my sons sing, "We've been everywhere, man, we've been everywhere." How many of you have ever heard them sing that song? Can I see your hands? Any of you have been to the wilds? I'm sure you've heard. You didn't want to raise them very high because you didn't want to realize that you lowered yourself to that level to listen to it. And they've had the privilege to be a lot of places. I've had the privilege of being a lot of places. But spent most of my life in Kansas City, pastoring there. So I've never had the opportunity to be here. And I'm thankful for this opportunity and thankful for so many of you who have already come up to me and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I met you at such-and-such a place." That's the way to do it. Nobody yet has done this to me, and please don't do this to me. "Hi, remember me?" Because, thank you. I might say that, but I'll probably try to say, "Where was it?" But I don't want to lie, so I'll say, "I'm sorry, I really don't. Where did we meet?" But it's been amazing all the way to my first days as a school principal in northern Indiana. Has somebody come and talk to me all recently, just a couple years ago at a church that I was speaking at, my wife and I, and doing a couples retreat. I've been to some family camp people that I've been able to meet already that have been to some of the family camps that my wife and I have had the privilege of doing. So thank you for allowing me to be here today, and I'm looking forward to the good fellowship. I hope what I share with you today will be a help and assistance to you as you seek to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as you try to be faithful until Jesus comes. Did you know that's what He wants? And did you know Jesus is coming soon? Have you see what's going on? Keep your eyes on Israel. Jesus is coming soon. But until then, we need to be found faithful, because it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Thank you. Be found faithful. And whether you realize it or not, and I'm finding out that a lot of people maybe don't realize this, today is National Right to Life Sunday. How many of you? No, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to embarrass you. Today is National Right to Life Sunday. You know what that's all about? There's an atrocity taking place in our society today. In your state and my state and every state of the nation, abortions are taking place. Do you believe with me that life begins at? Thank you. The Bible makes that very plain. Therefore, if you're aborting a child, you are taking innocent life. My Bible says that's murder. Not too many people want to be that blunt in the day and age in which we live. But today, I hope that you're praying for those mothers who are already mothers who are going through the decision, am I going to give birth to this child or am I going to take the life of this child? It's happening every day that we live. And I hope you'll pray for those who are making decisions about the laws of the land, both in your state, my state, and in Washington, D.C. And I hope that somehow, by the grace of God, before Jesus comes again, we'll eliminate abortion in the United States of America. By God's grace and for His glory, that every person will be protected in the womb or out of the womb. Can I tell you something? The problem in the United States of America and around the world is not abortion. Did you know that? Oh, it's a problem. But it's a problem that comes from the root problem. And we always try to get back to the root of the problem. Those of us who have been trained in counseling, we try to get away from the surface things and try to get back to the root problem. Do you know there's something going on in Washington, D.C. right now in the House of Representatives? Every bill that they're passing, they're putting on something called the SOGI language. The SOGI clause. I don't know if anybody here knows what I'm talking about when I say SOGI. S-O-G-I. Sexual orientation and gender identity. And they're making sure that nobody, when any law that's passed, that if you're a participant in that law, that you would have to make sure that you're not discriminating on sexual orientation or gender identity. Some of you heard of the Equality Act that passed the House of Representatives. Praise the Lord, it's not gone nowhere in the Senate and won't go anywhere in the Senate with the present makeup of our Senate. But again, it was trying to say that whatever identity you choose, did you know you get to choose your gender now? Isn't that wonderful, the freedoms we have in the United States of America, that now you can choose your gender? It's not God that chooses, even though the Bible said He made them what? And do you know what you are? Do you need help with that? Talk to me after the service if you need help with that. But our society is crazy. And there's people that need the Lord that are caught up in all these strange thoughts. But can I tell you, it's not the SOGI movement that's the problem, even though it is a problem. Boy, I'll tell you, I hate what's going on in marriage, in the family, and the redefining of marriage. How many of you know what marriage is according to the Bible? One man and one woman until death you do part. That's marriage. It's not one man and one man, one woman and one woman. It's not one man with two women. It's one man and one woman till death we do part. Do you all understand that? Well, not everybody in our society does. And there's an attack on the family. There's an attack on marriage, the basic institution that makes our society great, makes our churches great, makes our community great. It all goes back to the family. But I'm telling you, folks, that is a problem, but it's not the problem. And this morning, I want you to see what the real problem is that's creating all these other problems. So are you in Romans chapter 1? Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But could I get an amen? I know I'm in Alabama, so I should get an amen once in a while in Alabama. Now, I don't really care. Honestly, there are some places you go, everybody's shouting. Some people are waking up saying amen because they just think they're supposed to say it once in a while. So I don't want any fake. But are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I hope not. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And by the way, I have a little saying, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Some of you that have been to Christian school conventions that I've spoken at probably have heard that before. Because I want your life to show forth. By the way, that works for everybody. By their fruit shall ye know them. Bible basis. And if you had opportunities to get out gospel tracts this week and you didn't, you're showing that you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord for the two men that just sang that aren't ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, actively involved in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How many of you believe? May I see your hands? Now, that's what a church should be like. It's a body of believers that come together and are encouraged and challenged from the Word of God to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Some plant, some water. Who gives the increase? But he uses, aren't you glad to be used of God? What a privilege to be used of God. And God used, God doesn't need us. Do you understand that? God doesn't need us. But we are privileged when He allows us to be used. And those of you that have the privilege of sharing the gospel with somebody and see him come to a saving knowledge of Christ, oh, it depresses you so much. Oh, boy, that God's like, oh, man. No, it excites you that God could use you to plant the seed. Maybe somebody else waters it. But God gives the increase, and you're going to see some people in heaven because of your faithfulness of not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, everybody can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance and to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's a key word. It is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, those of you that are taking notes and want an outline, and I hope many of you are that way, the first point is God has revealed himself to man. Would you say that with me together? God has revealed himself to man. And he's about to tell us how he has done it in verses 17 through 20. For the wrath of God, verse 18 said, is, there's the word again, revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known in this revelation of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Read the last verse. That part of that verse with me, so, together in unison, that they are without excuse. Who is without excuse? Man is without excuse. Man is without excuse because God has revealed himself to man, and therefore man is without excuse. Now, I'm going to give you four ways in this passage of Scripture that God has revealed himself to man. First of all, through his word. Do you see that? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, verse 17 says, from faith to faith, as it is written. How many of you have your Bibles here this morning? I tell people, if you go to a church and you don't need your Bible, you're in the wrong church. Would you agree with that? And if you happen to be here without your Bible, and you say, oh boy, I feel uncomfortable, I didn't bring my Bible. First of all, somebody share with them, would you? But all you need to do is bring back your Bible the next time and come on back because you're in the right kind of church. It's not what I say, what any preacher says, it's what God says that really matters. And God has revealed himself to man through the Word of God. Now hold on, remember, God's Word is written, but it's also been lived before us. In the beginning, the Word was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word came and dwelt among us. And we behold His glory, Jesus Christ. There is the living Word and the written Word that God has shown to man, so we are without excuse. But go on to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God has also revealed himself to us through his judgment. How many of you believe in a worldwide flood? How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? How many have been frustrated taking the tour of the Grand Canyon like me? Of the millions and billions of years this had to... How obvious to us that know the Lord that when the waters receded, this great Grand Canyon was created. And it's not just the Grand Canyon. You can see different canyons like that all over the world. Because when water recedes, you see it leaves those ravines. And you see the different structures. And I'm not going into all that because I'm not the science guy. But I know people who can demonstrate that there was a worldwide. I was down in Monterrey, Mexico. We helped start a Christian college in Monterrey, Mexico. And so we would take trips of people down into Mexico and expose young people through an organization called Oromex and later became Oromundo. And we would take them on this tour up into these caves, you know, to kind of have a good time with the young people, not just be doing all the work. But the other, there was another purpose because you'd go up in this cave on this cable car that was a little rickety and kind of fun to, for the young people to see. Very safe, by the way, youth pastors. It was wonderful. But we'd get up there and they'd take you on a tour up here on the mountain, in the mountain cave. And one place they would stop and say, here are the sea fossils. Are you listening? Sea fossils up in the mountain of this cave. And by the way, it's not just there, it's many other places around the world. And you ask the question, well, how do those sea fossils get? I love to ask the question. And you know, millions and billions of years solve a lot of problems for the lost. Because none of us can fathom millions and billions of years, but I had the privilege many times to tell the guide through a translator, because not only is my Portugal obviously gone, but my Spanish is very weak. And through a translator that, no, that wasn't millions of billions of years. There was a worldwide flood. And when the waters receded, there were sea fossils all over the world. And by the way, there's civilizations on the bottom of the ocean, too, that have been discovered. And God has revealed himself to man, and man has had to make up another lie to kind of cover it. But God has judged the world. By the way, he won't judge it anymore. And he reminds us all the time with a rainbow in the sky, trying to remind us of his judgment, but also of his mercy. Hallelujah. Where would we be except for the mercy of our God? But he goes on and says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest where? In them, for God hath showed it unto them. God created man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed in their nostrils, and they became a living, say it with me, soul. A soul that's going to live somewhere forever. And God made man in his own image, so man has a conscience. And man knows there's something more, even they won't tell you at work that they do. They'll just say, well, this is all there is. Down deep in their spirit, they understand there's something else. And it bothers them that you have the peace that you have and they don't have the peace. Don't give up witnessing to them, because there's something in man that helps them to understand there's more. God has revealed himself even through his creation of man, body, soul, and spirit. In them, there's that understanding that there's got to be something more, even though they won't admit it. And then he says, not just through his spirit and through his judgment, through his word, but through his creation. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. How many of you have ever been to the Creation Museum just outside Cincinnati? Oh, a lot of you. Thank you. If you've never been, you ought to go. How many of you have sat in those nice planetarium seats? Oh, now you could go to sleep in them very easily, except for, wow, what you're seeing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When they zoom you away to where you don't even see the earth anymore, then you don't even see our solar system anymore. And here we are, not even a speck, a nothing on this globe. And God loves us. And God sent his son to die for us. Because God wanted to have that fellowship with his creation. When you see the creation of man, you know somebody had to create that. Oh, a lot of people have these devices nowadays. Do you know this? Just a bunch of metal and bolts and all kinds of circuits were thrown into a concrete mixture and mixed up, and all of a sudden, boop! Out came an iPhone. How many of you knew that? Why do people then believe that that's how the world was created? I tell folks, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. And by the way, if you go to the creation, you'll see all the facts for creation and all the foolishness about evolution, and you'll see all the philosophy that comes behind us because they have rejected God. You see, man is without excuse because God has revealed himself to man. But the second thing I want you to notice is how man has rejected God's revelation. Man has rejected God's revelation. And that's verses 21 through 25 and 26. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man has rejected God's revelation. God revealed himself to man, but man said, no, God, I'm not going to believe it. And so what did man do? Man made themselves to be wise. Pride. You know, God resists the proud, gives grace unto the... Only by pride cometh contention. What does God hate? Pride, even the proud look. You know, pride, me, myself, and I. I've got the answers. I don't need God. He says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm telling you, intellectualism. How many degrees you have? How much schooling? Give us enough time and enough money, we'll solve all the world's problems. No, you'll create more. That's what you'll do. And God doesn't need an education. Nothing wrong with education, can be very positive. But this world's education system is pushing people away from God. And trying to figure it out for themselves. Hey, they're even making idols. You've been on the foreign field, you've seen some of these idols. You can go into churches, even here in the United States of America, and see these idols where they're saying they change the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And you know, sometimes it may not be an image that we're making our idol. It may be a job we're making our idol. It may be money that becomes our idol, because the love of money is what? The root of all evil. It might even be a football team that becomes your God. Alabama. Now, please understand, I'm not against football. As a matter of fact, I spent most of my life in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, this is not only National Right to Life Sunday. The Kansas City Chiefs are playing the Tennessee Titans this afternoon. And you might know which is the right team to cheer for if you cheer for football. But you notice I'm here, not there. And I never would miss church to go to a football game. I prayed my days in Kansas City that maybe the Kansas City Chiefs would get in the Super Bowl. Two reasons. I'd love for them to be successful. I had the privilege of leading some football players there to the Lord as I chaplained there for a time and worked with some of the sports teams. And so, hey, they have souls too, and they're real lives too, and they have a lot of problems, by the way, I could tell you about. But really the reason, I wanted to prove to people in Kansas City that we would have church, even if the Kansas City Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. Because the Chiefs aren't my God, and they shouldn't be your God. Now, we would bring down the big screen and show the game on the... No, I'm just joking. No, we wouldn't. But it never happened. I don't know if it'll happen this year. I don't have to worry about it. There's a new pastor there, so it's his problem. But I don't have to think about it. But don't you... Isn't it true? I mean, you're in Alabama. I mean, it's amazing how sports can control people. And man has rejected God and replaced God with a lot of other things. And that brings us to my third and final point. What is the result of man rejecting God's revelation? Now, do you have the outline? What's number one? By the way, in education, repetition aids learning. And so if you write it down, that's the best way to remember it. But for some of you that won't, I'm trying to put it in your mind. Okay, I'm just telling you what I'm trying to do. Some of you, there's probably no hope, but I'm going to try. All right? What's number one? Man's? What? Who's given the revelation to man? God's revelation to man. Say it again. God's revelation to man. What's number two? man's rejection of God's revelation. Number three, the results. What are the results of man rejecting God's revelation? Look what it says in verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Problems. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. I've written in the side of my Bible, humanism. Isn't that the religion of our society today? Take God off the throne, put man on the throne, and worship and serve the desires of man. Well, what happens when you do that? Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. See, we think homosexuality is what's destroying our society. And it's not helping our society. I agree with that. And there's a lot to say about it. But homosexuality is a result of man rejecting God's revelation. That's what it's all about. And verse 26, women using the natural use of the body and giving themselves over to prostitution and pornography. Oh, that's the problem. All that immorality. Hey, it is a problem. But are you seeing it's a result of the basic problem of rejecting God's revelation? Man has rejected God's revelation. Look what it says in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they have rejected God's revelation. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now listen carefully as we read through verse 29 and verse 31. See if this is not our society today. If this is not what we're facing, wherever you live in the United States of America, and yea, even all around the world, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Really? There are people that, young people, I'm so glad you're not disobedient to parents. I'm glad we have just such wonderful young people here. And I'm glad many of you are right up here front. Yasmin, are you required to be there or did you choose to do that? I don't know, but thank you. I mean, you all look young at least. Maybe you say, oh, I'm college. I'm sorry, but you look like sharp young people here. I'm just good to have them here. But disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers. That's why we have to have so many attorneys. Yea's not longer yea, and your nay, nay. So we have to lawyer up. Sorry, lawyers, but I'm happy for you. I've used them too. But he says, affection, implacable, unmerciful. And notice what it says in verse 32. This kind of gives a summary of kind of this all this problem. Who knowing the judgment of God. Now, why do they know the judgment of God? Because God in them has revealed himself. He's given mankind a conscience. A sense of right and wrong. And even though they know inside, oh, this is probably not right. This is probably unethical, illegal, or immoral. They which commit the things that are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Have you heard the little phrase, misery loves company? And so, why do I want to run with the wrong crowd if I'm an unbeliever that has rejected God? Because it makes me feel good that there's a bunch of other people that are just like me. By the way, that's why you make them feel uncomfortable in the community. That's why you make them feel uncomfortable at work. That's why we make them feel uncomfortable in our society. And why the attack is on Christians right now. Am I telling you something you don't know? Well, come to Washington, D.C. with me sometime and you'll see it firsthand. The attack is on. And one of these days when we're caught away, and that day's coming soon, the rapture of the church, they're going to say, good riddance to bad rubbish. And if you've studied humanism, they even have a doctrine where eventually the forces of right and wrong are going to take us out. I mean, they're already getting ready for the lie of the devil that says this was the best thing for our society to get rid of all those Christians who are trying to hold us back from our freedoms. It's amazing what's taking place in, before our very eyes. But rejoice, redemption draweth nigh. I've read the last chapter. Have you read the last chapter? You know who wins? We win! Thanks be to God who giveth us the... Oh, come on. You can get more excited than that. I know I'll be more excited than that. The Chiefs win today. And I don't want to get more excited about the Chiefs than I am about Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who giveth us the... There you go! We have the victory! We've already won! My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so is yours. If you've been born again by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see the problem? Do you see what's really wrong? Do you see why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you'll come back tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I do in Washington, D.C. with an organization called Advance USA. Because I have the privilege of going to Washington, D.C. every month. I was just there this last week, and I'll kind of give you a little report of some of the things, because you're the first church I've been in since I was there this last week, a kind of eventful week. As an advocate for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're supposed to occupy until He comes, and we need to be found faithful. And I think sometimes Christians aren't faithful in the public arena the way they should be faithful in the public arena. But you know, we have the opportunity to give the truth that men can either receive or reject. Whether it's on the foreign mission field, whether it's in my workplace, or whether it's in Washington, D.C., we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. People even vote different when they get saved. I mean, we need to make sure we're engaged. And we need to make sure we don't reject God's revelation to man. And can I say something? I've done that. Now, you probably never have disobeyed God. And if you think that, then you're a liar, so you have disobeyed God. Even the Apostle Paul, who was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, in my estimation. I love studying the life of the Apostle Paul and reading the teaching of the Apostle Paul. I love the way God used him to give us Scripture. You know what he said? The things that I know I should do, sometimes I don't do. You ever been there? And the things that I know I shouldn't do, sometimes I catch myself doing. Been there. But here's the key. How did he feel about it? How did he respond when the Holy Spirit gave conviction? Oh, wretched man that I am, deliver me! And all of us are in that process of becoming more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we all need the deliverance. But I'll tell you what. Every time we listen to a message or we're reading the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He tries to tell us something we should do or we shouldn't do or somebody we ought to witness to, and we don't do it. You know what we're doing? We're adding to the problem. We're rejecting God's revelation to man. And more personally, I am rejecting God's revelation to me. And so, folks, my challenge to you this morning, don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. How are you a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem? Respond. Respond. Don't reject the voice of God, the Word of God, the direction of God. When God speaks, obey. Respond in obedience to what God wants you to do. Isn't that how it all started? That's how it started for me when I was 18 years of age, reading through the book of Romans. And I all of a sudden saw I was a sinner and saw I needed Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I couldn't save myself. It didn't matter how much I tried. It was all about Jesus Christ. And in a simple prayer of faith, I called out and said, Lord, I need your salvation. Save me. Come into my life. I didn't know that at that point that the Holy Spirit came to reside within me. I didn't know that He was going to start working on me. I just knew the Bible had the answers. And I started studying the Bible, and little by little, God worked in my life, and He's still working in my life. And when I respond, I grow. When I reject, I backslide. And I know what God wants for me, and I know what God wants for you. Every time the Word of God is proclaimed, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Respond in obedience and do what God wants you to do. It seems like that's looking unto Jesus and following Him wherever He leads you. Wherever He leads you, obey. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father, I am thankful for the privilege that we have to live and serve in a free country where we still have the right to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the privilege and opportunity we have to have churches like this that clearly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But forgive us, Lord, even as your children, that we would sometimes not do what you want us to do. We would not be obedient to your word or to your Holy Spirit as conviction comes and as direction is set. And Father, I pray today for anyone that's here that has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. I pray that they won't reject the message one more time. But even today, today they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then for my Christian friends that would be here this morning that have been battling something in their life and they haven't said yes to getting rid of it or yes to following your leadership, that today they would recognize they're a part of the problem if they don't obey. And that today they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient to Him. So, Lord, work in hearts and lives during this invitation as only you can. And I pray that we will see victories won today. And I pray that you will see victories won in our communities and in our states and in our country. And, Lord, that you would help all of those who have the authority of us to do the same thing. Follow you rather than following the ways of this world. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I will follow Him. Is that your testimony? Or is there something right now in your life that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about, and you already know there's something that He wants you to do that you're not doing, or something that He doesn't want you to do that you are doing, and it needs to change because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now? And you would say, as a Christian, with the uplifted hand, I need to get obedient. There's some things I need to do that I haven't been doing, or there's some things I need to stop doing that I have been doing. God is speaking to me about it right now. Brother Herbster, I'd like for you to pray with me about it, that I'll make the right decision and respond and not reject. Pray for me. Would you put your hands in the air as Christian if that's the case? Yes, thank you, thank you. It's a way of life for us as Christians. And it's wonderful when you get it right. You get clean. Anybody else with these that have raised their hand, just put it up, put it back down. I may or may not see it. I just want you to make that conscious decision before the Lord. I'm gonna do right. I'm gonna follow Jesus wherever He leads me. I'm gonna stop those wrong things and start those right things. Don't be a part of the problem. not just for your life, but for your family's life, for your church's life, for our country's life. Be obedient. Anyone else with these that have raised their hand? Just as I wait, just a moment. Yes, yes, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. And then I wouldn't want to close the service. There's somebody here that you would say, you know, I understand I'm a sinner. I understand that I'm lost. I understand that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin, but I've never been born again. I've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. I don't have the confidence that I'm going to heaven. I don't have the peace that passeth all understanding, that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I need to respond today. I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Please pray for me, brother. Please pray that I will make that decision and come to that saving knowledge of Christ. Is there anybody like that this morning? You just put your hand up and I'll pray for it. Be happy to talk to you about it, even after the service if you want me to. But you say, pray for me. I'm here and I'm not sure I'm born again. Pray for me. Let's quietly stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around. I don't know how you respond in your church. Every church is different. But I know for me personally, sometimes I like to get on my knees before the Lord and just pour my heart out to Him, because without Him I can do nothing. If you'd like to step out from where you are and come and get on your knees before the Lord and get something right with Him, you want somebody to pray with you, Pastor Ben is here. He'd be happy to help you, or somebody else, get somebody to pray with you and take you to a private room if you need that. You may just want to come and pray and go back to your seat. Remember something, though. Remember that pride problem? It's not just in the world, it's in Christians. But God resists the proud and He gives grace unto the humble. So humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due season. Get it right with God today. Go out rejoicing that you're a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And dear friend, if you're here and you're uncomfortable in your sin, you don't know that you're saved, even though you didn't raise your hand, you could come and just let us know that you're saved, you need Christ, and we take the time to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ even today. Father, thank you for many hands that see that they have some things they need to deal with. Help them to deal with them this morning. Give them the power to overcome. Give them the victory. And again, if there's anyone here without Christ, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If your head's...